and to sit down and go through the process of learning with you. Inshallah, in this series, which starts from this evening, will continue for the whole month of May and inshallah till the end of June. We have about 9 to 10 weeks. For the first 4 or 5, I selected a topic from the list proposed by the brothers and sisters. It is the topic of barzakh. I know people get scared with it, but you know, it's something for myself, it was important to learn about it. And I thought, you know, in that process, I will share what I'm learning with you. Inshallah, we'll be looking at this issue in detail. And that is why I said, you know, maybe 4 to 5 weeks. We might be able to finish it in 4 sessions, but we might go even 1 more session on it. For tonight, inshallah, you know, let us look at the issue of what is barzakh, what do we mean by it, and what are the sources to know about barzakh, and then some of the ayat of Quran about this concept. When we look at the term itself, barzakh, this is, of course, an Arabic word. And its literal meaning basically means something which is in between two things, which is like a barrier or intervention between the two things. And on a literal level, this can apply to anything. Even this partition that we have between, you know, brothers and sisters, this is also literally barzakh. And so anything which separates two things is known as, you know, barzakh. For example, if you look at this picture, and there's no quiz here, so don't worry about it. You don't have to guess which city or which twin cities are there. There are two cities on the border of Canada and US, but there is a river in between. On one you have Windsor, on the other side you have Detroit. That river in between is literally, we can call it barzakh. Now, it's not only that, you know, the water would be barzakh. You can reverse that process. Look at our own downtown. Look at the Toronto Island. There is a water on one side, and then there is water on the other side. And in between, you have that island. So even that land can become barzakh. So in the first picture, it's the water which is barzakh between two, you know, lands. And in the other one, the land is the barzakh between the two bodies of water. So this is the literal meaning of the term barzakh. When we look at Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used this literal meaning of barzakh in 2 places. If you look at this ayat, which is probably from Surah Furqan, ayat number 53, وَهُوَ الَّذِي مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ هَذَا عَذْبٌ فُرَاتٌ وَهَذَا مِلْحٌ أُجَاجٌ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has merged two seas, two bodies of water. One is sweet and fresh, and the other is kind of, you know, salty and bitter. Then Allah says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخًا. Between those two bodies of water, Allah has put a barzakh. وَهِجْرًا مَهْجُورًا. You know, and the barzakh is the one which prevents them from, you know, becoming one. And when you look at this, of course, we don't want to go into the details of the tafsir. You know, there are many Muslims who have surveyed the geography of the world, and they say, oh, this refers to this sea or that sea. There is no concrete, definitive, you know, proof for that. It can apply to any area of the world where you will see sweet and salty water, you know, coming together. Especially when you look at the major rivers where the water is, sweet compared to the oceans, which is salty. When the rivers merge into the sea, you will see there is an area there where the water coming from the flowing from the rivers into the ocean maintain its own status. Only later on it merges into it. And so any part of the world where you will see that two kinds of water, Allah says, this is also one of my reflection of my power. So Allah uses the term barzakh there in the literal sense. Another is, this is Surah Rahman, Maraj al-Bahrain yaltaqiyan baynahuma barzakhun la yabghiyan. Again, it's the same concept that Allah merged the two seas meeting each other, and there is a barrier between them that they do not cross. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So this is where we see the word barzakh is being used in the literal meaning of a barrier between two things. But that's not really the concern for us, but it's important to know, what is the origin of the word and how it's then used in Islamic terminology. Going on to the Islamic, phrases. In Islamic theology especially, the word barzakh is used from its literal meaning into a very special meaning. It means the interval, time-wise, between the present life and the hereafter. Or in other words, the time frame between the death and the day of resurrection. So that is known as barzakh. So you have the worldly life on one side, the hereafter, the day after Qiyamah on the other side, and in between what you have is known as the time of barzakh. So from death to the day of resurrection is basically known as barzakh in Islamic theology. Just a note about what would be the English translation of barzakh. There has been quite a lot of confusion. I was looking at many translations. Even I myself, in the past used to translate the word barzakh in English as purgatory. It's only when I started studying at this issue, I realized that it's not really the translation of barzakh. Because the term purgatory in English comes from the Christian terminology, mostly from the Catholic point of view, where they believe that when a person dies, the souls remain in a place for a time, which is known as the purgatory, and there the soul is gradually cleansed of its sins. So it is a place where the souls are punished until their sins are washed away, and then they go to heaven. If we translate barzakh as purgatory, then we are just translating barzakh in only one dimension of it. Because when you look at barzakh is not only a place of torment and awab, it is also the place of ni'mat and blessings. Or it could even be a place where the souls are left in suspension. So there are three situations, inshallah we'll go into details. And so the word purgatory does not really reflect the meaning of the word barzakh. The closest this term purgatory can come to is Wadi-e Barhut. We believe that the souls of the evil people, the non-believers, after death, during the barzakh time, it goes to Wadi-e Barhut, where they are tormented and punished. So purgatory would be closest to what is known as Wadi-e Barhut in our theology. Anyway, this was just a brief note about the translation. Therefore, we really don't have a single word to translate, in English language, to translate the concept of barzakh. So we have to just explain what it means, the time between death and the day of resurrection. Now what happens? There are different situations for different individuals. Why is it important for us to study Barzakh? You know, I was warned that, you know, you might not get a good number of people because of the topic. It's scary. But I think we have to be afraid about it. You know, it is something to be afraid of. But why is it important to study this? And this is where we have to realize that when we look at the world, you know, there is a secular way of looking at our life. I remember once, and this is a theme I had taken from the seminar we had a few years ago about will, where one of the accountants and lawyers had come, and they were looking at the life from the secular point of view. And they were saying, you know, basically you have the childhood, including the youth age, then you have adulthood, and then you have retirement. And what they were saying that, of course, you know, in childhood and youth age, you learn, you go through the education process. When you become an adult, you earn and save. Save for what? You save for retirement. So they were talking about financial planning for the future. That when you are earning, you don't only use the money for at that time, you also plan for the future, for the retirement. Now this is the secular way of looking at it. From education, you go to earning and saving, and from saving, then you live on these savings during the old age. From a Muslim's perspective, we would extend that. And we will say, well, there is something after retirement, known as hereafter. And we don't only have to, you know, seek education to be independent in our adulthood and work for our retirement. Rather, we also have to work for our hereafter. And not only in adulthood when we are earning, even when we retire, we have to work for our akhirat. Now, I will expand that even further. Not only for akhirat, we actually have to work for the barzakh, plan for the barzakh, as well as for the akhirat. And so when we look at our own adulthood, you know, we are working for barzakh as well as the hereafter. And when we retire, even at that time, we have to work and plan for the barzakh as well as the hereafter. So we have our life in dunya, our life in the hereafter, and in between we have the barzakh, and we have to work for and plan for that also. And that would be the, you know, a Muslim's perspective. And therefore, it is important for us to, you know, even plan what will be our situation in what is known as alam-e barzakh, the world of barzakh between death and the day of qiyamah. Especially for us, you know, there is a saying from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. But Imam said something which makes it even more important for us to think about barzakh and work for barzakh. This is his statement. Wallahi ma akhafu alaykum illa al-barzakh. Fa imma iza sar al-amr ilayna fa nahnu awla bikum. What the Imam is saying that by Allah, I am not concerned about you except during the period of barzakh. But when the matter is referred to us on the day of judgment, we are closer to you and can intercede on your behalf. What the Imam is saying that you have to work for your barzakh yourself. And so it might, you know, I might be scaring myself and you, but this is the reality. This is the statement of our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. There's one interesting conversation, again quoted by Allah Majlisi in Bihar al-Anwar. A companion of the sixth Imam by the name of Amr bin Yazid. You know, he came to Imam and he expressed his concern about something he had heard from the Imam earlier. And he says, I've heard you saying, our Shias will be in the paradise in whatever state they would be in. Doesn't matter, you know, they're good or bad or whatever, they are going to go to Jannah. And Imam said, I have been truthful to you. All of them, by Allah, will be in Jannah, in paradise. So now Amr ibn Yazid says, may I be a ransom for you? Now this is the akhlaq. You know, some people might have questions about what they hear about, you know, Islam. They might not be able to understand and they are asking questions. But even the style and the adab of questioning has to be kept in mind. You don't say, oh, it doesn't make sense. What are you saying? You know, you're giving a blank check to the Shias to do whatever they want. That's not the attitude you should have, you know, when you are not able to digest and understand. And so he begins by saying that, Imam, I respect you, I love you. And if there is a situation that my life have to be sacrificed for your sake, I'm willing to do that. Verily, and then he says, verily the sins are many, many, and many of them are kabair, major sins people commit, even Shias. So are you saying that even Shias who do gunahan and kabira, many of them, still they will go to paradise? And this is where the Imam says, amma fal qiyama فَكُلُّكُمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ بِشَفَاعَةِ النَّبِيِّ الْمُطَاعَ وَصِيُّ النَّبِيِّ. He says, by Allah, as for the Day of Judgment, you know, all of you will be in paradise by the shafa'at and intercession of the Prophet who is to be obeyed, or the wasi and the successor of the Prophet. وَلَكِنِّي وَاللَّهِ أَتَخَوَّفُ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْبَرْزَخِ. But by Allah, I am concerned about you during the time of Barzakh. So yes, Imam says in the hereafter, you know, whatever deficiency is there, we will take care of it. But in Barzakh, that is the time that I'm concerned about you. I'm afraid for you. And what will happen there? The reason why Imam is saying that in the Akhirah, the Shias will go to Jannah, because those who are sinful, those who do many, many sins and many major sins, it is during the time of Barzakh that they will be punished, so that their sins become less, to the extent that when they come on the Day of Qiyamah, the Prophet or the Imam would be able to intercede on their behalf, and they will go to Jannah. And so that is where we see that the issue of studying and thinking and planning for Barzakh is absolutely important for each one of us. Salawat alaykum wa rahmatullah. Now, what are the sources of studying Barzakh? How do you know what, you know, what will happen, how things will happen? Our aql, our reasoning power and science don't have the capability of understanding what will happen in Barzakh. This is beyond the realm of our aql. This is the beyond the realm of, you know, empirical science or experiment done by the scientist. And this is where we see that we don't have a choice but to go to the revelation and the sources of revelation. And that's where we are referring to the Quran and the ahadith of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim wa salatu wa salam. Even great scholars like Allama Tabatabai, or even people like Sheikh Mufid in the past, if you look at their discussion about Barzakh and Qiyamah, they will say, you know, Aql doesn't have the ability to understand these issues. We don't have a way to understand these issues of Barzakh and Qiyamah, but to go to Naql, not Aql. And Naql means what has been narrated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the Prophet and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt. Let me make a remark here. There is a very interesting book, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with that. It's known as Journey of the Unseen World. This is the English translation of Marhum Najafi Qushani's book. This is about Barzakh, but I would like to emphasize the point that he was a very pious alim, and he decided to present the world of Barzakh in an interesting story form, you know, style. And so what he did was as if he is writing his own, you know, death, what happened to him, you know, what he saw, where he went. So remember, it is more a story that he has written. Not everything is based on the ayat and hadith. You know, because to write a story, you need to put in a lot of, you know, filling the gaps. Many things there are based on the ayat of Quran and hadith. And it's a good book to read. You know, it's in a story form. But when you're reading it, remember that it is written in a story form. Not necessarily everything is based on the ayat of Quran or the ahadith of the Masumeen. So the first thing for us is basically to go to the Quran. Let us see whether this concept of barzakh, the life between the worldly life and the hereafter, from the day of our death to the day of Qiyamah, the day of resurrection, is there a concept like that mentioned in the Quran or not? We will first look at the ayat dealing with this issue in a negative side, talking about those who are non-believers and those who are evildoers. The first is from Surah Mu'minun, ayat number 99 and 100. This is Surah 23. It's an ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talks about those who deny the belief in the hereafter. Basically, whatever you see in the italics, there are explanatory remarks that I've added just to give the context of the ayat, that the idol worshippers would refuse to believe in hereafter. So in that context, you have this ayat, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ. But when death will come to them, when they see Malakul Maut, then everything opens up. Then they will say, you know, until death comes to one of them. So they were denying the hereafter, but when death comes, they will see the reality. And then they will wish, they will pray, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونِي لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِيمَا تَرَكْتُ. That, oh Allah, send me back to my dunya so that I may do things that I had neglected. You know, make up for the mistakes that I had done. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond by saying, كَلَّا. By no means you are going to be sent back. There is no point of, you know, second chance here. إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. You know, it's just words that he is saying. It's just like, you know, in Quran you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when people are in distress, especially Allah gives this example of those who travel in the sea. When they are surrounded by a storm and they are about to drown, you know, they pray to Allah. And Allah helps them. And then they reach the shore safely. Then Allah says, as soon as he steps on the land, you know, he forgets me. And he goes back to what he was doing. So Allah says the same thing here. إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. This person, now that he sees his death, now he says, oh Allah, send me back so that I may do things that I had neglected. Allah says these are only words. And then what happens? Allah says, وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَىٰ يَوْمٍ يُبْعَثُونَ. From that point of their death, following them, behind them is that time barrier till the day of Qiyamah. And that is known as barzakh, in between. So Allah actually used this term barzakh there for the time frame between the death and the day of resurrection. And so this is the example of the people who had done those who were not believers and those who were doing evil deeds. There is another example from Quran, and this is from Surah number 40, ayat 46, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a specific group of non-believers. Again, talking about what will happen to them between death and the day of resurrection. فَوَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا وَحَاقَ بِآلِ فِرْعَوْنَ سُوَ الْعَذَابِ. If you look at this, this is the story of Fir'aun. And there was one believer in the family of Fir'aun, probably his cousin. And Quran talks about his story. This is in Surah Mu'min. And the longest quotation of a human being in Quran is from this believer of the family of Fir'aun. And when he tried to advise Fir'aun and his ministers that, you know, don't try to harm and kill Musa. What is he doing? The most that he is saying is that he believes in a different Lord. And they tried to then harm him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا. But Allah protected him from the evil consequences of what they had planned against him. And then what happened? وَحَاقَ بِعَالِ فِرْعَوْنَ سُوَ الْعَذَابِ. And then an evil punishment seized the people of Fir'aun. They were drawn. When they were drawn, what happened? The people of Fir'aun will face what? النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا. They will be, the people of Fir'aun will be exposed to the fire every morning and every evening. If you look at the words, غدوًا وعشية, every morning and every evening they will be exposed to the fire. It means they are not in the fire. The fire, they will go in the fire after the day of judgment. It means that in that state, which is known as barzakh, between their death and the day of qiyamah, they will still be tormented. Every morning and every evening, they will be exposed to the fire as a preview of the fire of Jahannam. And so this is where we see that, you know, there is this concept of barzakh, where the azab would be there as a preview of Jahannam. The last sentence there clarifies it. And on the day when the hour of resurrection shall come, the wardens of hell will be told, أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَوَابِ. Admit, now admit the people of Fir'aun into the most horrible punishment. So when the day of Qiyamah will come, they will be now put into Jahannam, into the fire. But until the day of Qiyamah, they will be exposed every day and every evening to the fire. And this is where we see this is going to happen to them in Barzakh, because the Qiyamah has not yet happened. They have not yet been sent into Jahannam. Interestingly, the words غَدُوًا وَعَشِيًّا help us on this issue. Because in Jahannam or Jannah, there is no morning, no evening. Where do you get evening and morning? When the dunya is still there. You know, in Alam al-Barzakh, yes. Because still the sun is there, the earth is rotating, you get the morning and the evening, the day and the night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Insan, He says, in the hereafter, the people who live in Jannah, they will never see, you know, bitter cold or very hot weather. There is no morning or evening there. Similarly, in Jahannam, there is no morning and evening. And so these words, غُدُوًا وَعَشِيًّا, is showing that this is during the time of Barzakh, where the people of Fir'aun would be exposed to the fire in the mornings and in the evenings. Now we saw till now, you know, the negative examples. Let us look at the positive examples of those who are not necessarily being punished after death and before Qiyamah, rather the believers. And We have the specific example of the believers who are shuhada, those who are killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from Surah Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقُولُ لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. And do not say to those who are killed in Allah's way is dead. They are not mayyit, they are not amwat, بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. They are alive, but you don't have the ability to perceive their life after death. And this is where we see that, you know, Allah is now talking about the presence of a life after death before the day of Qiyamah for those who are, this is the believers' side of the story. The same concept has been repeated in Surah Ali Imran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayat 169, where he says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتُلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتَ. Do not consider those who are killed in the way of Allah as dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. They are alive. Rather, they are alive, not only alive, they are being sustained. They are being given provision, yurzaqoon, in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, of course, presence here is not in a physical sense, it's a metaphorical sense. And so we see two things here. Number one, they are alive. And number two, they are being sustained. They are being given provision. And this is happening not in the Qiyamah or after that. This is happening where the Qiyamah has not happened. So we are talking about the time of Barzakh between the death and the day of Qiyamah. The ayat after that is interesting. These shuhada, these martyrs, those who are killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, they will, what will happen to them? They will be alive and they will be sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Farihina bima atahum Allah min fadlih. They are farihin, you know, furaha in Swahili as you call it, it's from Arabic. You know, farihin bima atahum Allah. They are happy for what Allah has given to them out of His fazl and His grace. Not only that, وَيَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَلَحَقُ بِهِمْ مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ. You know, they are also rejoicing for their brethren in faith whom they have left behind. You know, they are happy that even when they will come, the mu'mineen, the other mu'mineen who are left behind, when they will come, they will also get same kind of treatment. And so this is an ayat which talks about the blessings of Allah in the time of Barzakh for all the mu'mineen. أَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. There shall be no fear on them and they shall not grieve at all. One more ayat on this issue. You recite Surah Yasin every Thursday night. There is a story there because Surah Yasin basically has three concepts: Tawheed, Nubuwwat, and Qiyamah. And when Allah talks about the issue of Nubuwwat, He talks about a situation where there were some Anbiya who were sent to a city which is now in Greater Syria, and two of them were sent to guide the people. They didn't listen, people didn't listen to them, so Allah then sent a third one as a support for them. Still they didn't listen. And when they were still trying to advise and guide the people, then Allah says that a person from far away, other side of the city came, who was a believer. And he started advising the people of that city, and they said, you know, why don't you listen to them? These people don't have any self-interest in bringing this message of Allah to you. They are not asking you for any money or any salary or anything. You know, they are doing this for your sake. So why don't you listen to him? That not only rejected his plea, they actually ended up killing him. And so, you know, the story is that it was when he was killed, Now Quran says what happened to him after this fellow was killed. قِيلَ دُخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ He was told, enter the paradise. And when he entered there, he says, قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ I wish my people who did not listen to me, I wish they would have known بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ That, you know, Allah has forgiven me and He has placed me among those who are the honored people. I wish they would see what is my end result and follow my path. Now, the most of the translators, and this is where we have to realize that sometimes even the words used in the Quran, we have to be careful about the translation there. The words are, قِيلَ دْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ This person is told, enter the paradise. Most of the translators, almost 99 of them have translated it as paradise with capital P or capital G, garden, in form of the Jannat, which is in the hereafter. But the question is, has Qiyamah happened? No. Qiyamah has not happened. Hisab Kitab has not happened. And so there's no issue of him being told, قِيلَ دْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ Here, Jannah doesn't mean the capital P, paradise. It actually means garden in barzakh. And so it has to be written this way. It was said to him, enter the garden with a small g. Because, you know, barzakh for good people will become a preview of Jannah. So this is a smaller Jannah that they will see there. And so this is where we see one more example. In Surah Yasin of the concept of, torment. As this is, of course, the positive example of the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for an individual in the time of barzakh, between the death and the day of resurrection. And so what we basically can conclude with our discussion this evening are four main points. Number one, technically the term barzakh means the time between the death and the day of resurrection. Number two, in the views of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, it is a matter that Shias have to really be concerned about it. And they have to plan and prepare themselves for the time of barzakh. And number three, Quran talks about the life of barzakh for the believers as well as the non-believers. And of course, we see that those who are non-believers and evildoers, they will be tormented and punished. Ale Fir'aun is, you know, they will be exposed to fire, for example, every evening and every morning. Whereas others, Shuhada and other mu'mineen, they will be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where, inshallah, you know, so this is the introduction to the issue of barzakh. Next week, we will go a little bit to a more complex issue, that when we say that the good people will be blessed in barzakh, and the evil people will be tormented of punished in barzakh, this blessing or punishment goes where? Does it go to the body or to the soul? And, you know, how will that life in barzakh be? You know, are we going to get the same body? Or is it just the soul which is going through blessings or the torment? This is one of the complex issues in the Islamic theology, which we'll try to deal and handle that, inshallah, next week. And then we'll go into the details of, you know, the categories of the people, especially the mu'mineen, what will happen to them, and how we should prepare ourselves for that time. We still have about 10 minutes, so let me just very quickly, I don't intend to scare you, but I think we have to look at this issue. Just a passage from a letter that Amir al-Mu'mineen wrote to Muhammad bin Abi Bakr. when he appointed him as the governor of Egypt. And this is an advice to him. One part of it he says, فَحَذَرُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ الْمَوْتُ وَقُرْبَهُ. It's not an address given to him, but it's address to the people in general. Therefore, O servants of Allah, be afraid of death and its measures, and keep ready all that is needed for it. It will come as a big event and a great affair, either as a good one, in which there will never be any evil, or an evil one, in which there will never be any good. There is a hadith where the Prophet and the Imams, different Imams have repeated those words, that the Qabr is either Rawzatun min Riyaz al-Jannah or Hufratun min Hufarin Nairan. You know, the grave will either become a garden from the gardens of Jannah, or it will become a hole from the holes of Jahannam. And so this is what Imam is saying, either it will be a good place or a bad place. Whoever is near to paradise, then he works towards it. And whoever is nearer to hell, then he who works for it. You are being chased by death. If you stop, it will catch you. And if you run away from it, it will grip you. It is more attached to you than your reflection. Death is tied to your forelocks, while the world is being wrapped up from behind you. Therefore fear the fire whose hollow is deep, whose flames are severe, and its punishment is novel. It is a place wherein there is no mercy. No call is heard in it. No pain is healed in it. If it is possible for you to have severe fear of Allah and to rest hope in Him, then do both. Have khawf of Allah as well as raja. Fear Allah as well as have hope in His mercy. Because every individual can have hope in his Lord to the extent of his fear of his Lord. We have to balance the element of fear and, you know, hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Certainly the most hopeful person with Allah is the one who fears Him most. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, include us among those who keep this consciousness of the day of the alam and the world of barzakh in our mind, and may He give us the tawfiq to work and plan for it. We have 5 minutes. Questions? Raja'at and barzakh, they're two completely different things. Barzakh is for the whole humanity. Everybody has to go through it. Raja'at is something which will happen before Qiyamah in a very limited form for only a few select individuals. And so there's two completely different issues here. Yes. That ayat, from what I can remember reading about it just yesterday, the question is about the ayat where Allah says that the non-believers will be asked, how long did you stay in the grave after your death? And they will say, maybe a day or so. And inshallah, when we talk about the category of people in barzakh, that's where the issue will come up. There are some who will be punished. There are some who will be blessed. And there will be many, many who will be in suspension. Those who will be in suspension, for them, it will be as if, you know, I just died yesterday. And so this refers to those kinds of people. Inshallah, we'll talk more about it later on. Any question from the sisters? The question was about an ayat of Quran where Allah says that some of the non-believers would be asked, how long did you stay in the grave? And they will say just one day or a short period. Yes. Inshallah, we'll talk about it. There are many, many hadiths about it. What are the issues we will face in Barzakh? Basically, of course, hereafter is the eventual destination. Whatever we are doing is for that. But then, in our life, there are problems, deficiency on both sides, whether it's wajibat or committing things which are haram. And that's where we have to, you know, look at the issue of barzakh there. So the ultimate goal is basically to plan for the hereafter, but also be aware of the pitfalls and the challenges we will have in the barzakh. So inshallah, you know, and as I said, you know, these are not issues that we can just think about it ourselves. We need the support of the revelation, the sayings of the Prophet and the Imams, and this is what we are going to go through, inshallah. Wadi Barhud, when I was explaining the English word purgatory, is closer to the meaning of Wadi Barhud, which is known as the place where the souls of the evil people will go. Inshallah, when we talk about the souls in Barzakh, we'll talk about it more. Inshallah, we'll. You know, last question. There is. We are not denying that. Inshallah. Well, they just want us to realize it's not to be taken for granted. Inshallah, we'll see you next week then.